All right. I ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Genesis and chapter number 50. Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50 tonight. Appreciate that song. That's a blessing. Can't wait till I get there. Amen. It's going to be a good time. Genesis chapter 50 and verse number 14 says, "And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, 'Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him.' And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, 'Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father.' And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, 'Behold, we be thy servants.' And Joseph said unto them, 'Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones.' And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them." Now, Joseph's father, if you'll remember in your studies back, Genesis chapter 49, in the previous chapter, brought all his sons together. He blessed them. Now, the Bible says he blessed them. The word blessed, actually, in verse number 28 of Genesis chapter 49, literally means a curse or a favor. And so if you'll notice through those sons, the blessing on some of them, like Reuben, was actually almost like a curse because of the things that was done against Israel. But what we find is he brought all his children, he blessed them, he got to the place of death, he died, Joseph fell on his face in verse number 1 of the chapter that we're reading tonight, wept upon him, kissed him, commanded his servants, the physician, to embalm his father, and the physicians embalmed Israel. They carried him to the place. He got word to Pharaoh. He made sure that Pharaoh was okay with it. He took him to Canaan. All the servants that he had, the Egyptian servants, and then all of Israel's servants, his children, their servants, and they all made a big funeral procession up to Canaan. They buried him there. And Joseph returned back with his brethren. His brethren were fearful during that time, and they had a good right to be fearful for all the things that they had done against Joseph and all the things that they knew that they stood guilty of. They feared him and his position that he was in. And any ordinary man would have loved to have been in the place and the position of Joseph during this time. Any ordinary man would have been to the place, Brother Chad, it's time for a little payback on these men. I mean, we all love this portion of the Scripture because this story is so lengthy. One of the most lengthiest stories in the Old Testament regarding one man's complete life, from Genesis chapter 37 all the way to Genesis chapter 50, and not short chapters at that. Revealing and unveiling, might I say, the life of Joseph from the pit to the prison to the palace. All this life unveils in these chapters. And if Joseph, if any man had a right to be angry, it would have been Joseph during this time. But Joseph here, we find, walked according to the command given by the Apostle Paul over in Romans 12:19, when he said, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And again, if anybody should have been angry, I mean, these things that had transpired in his life, separated from his family, separated from the comforts of his home, separated from all that he knew, from his father, from his mother, from his occupation, from the things that he did, from his land. And this was God's, this is where God had called the children of Israel to. I mean, this was their inheritance, and here they were, called out of this land unto an heathenistic nation that he had been taught of by Jacob, that he had been taught of by the elders of Israel, knowing that the Egyptians were heathenistic people, knowing of the gods that they served and the things that they'd done, separated from his family. This was a tragedy to a very godly young man, not only separated from his family, but sold into Egyptian bondage. And to be sold nonetheless, or left there to die in the pits by his brother, and then sold into bondage, set up by his master's wife, brought up before and by the favor of God, before his master of the house, given rights to everything over the home, and then by his own master's wife set up, and then sent to prison, sentenced to prison this man went through. And we see all these things. If anybody would have had a right to be mad, it should have been Joseph. But the Bible says, and I love to get different things out of the story of Joseph, and I have a lot of messages, probably like every other preacher in the life of Joseph. But I begin to notice in one of the most well-preached out of the entire life of Joseph is found out of verse number 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass, as it is this day to save much people alive. And I think I've dwelt so much on that verse that I missed the previous verse, which teaches such a great principle in the Scriptures. The Bible says, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? And I want to preach on this thought tonight, and hopefully, and I'll just be a few minutes, I assure you, just a few minutes on this thought, a place of power, a place of power. And hopefully God will do something in our hearts that I don't know why God put this on my heart to preach tonight, but I'm sure that it's going to touch our hearts in some way. If you'll just give your attention to the Word of God just for the few minutes that we have. Let's go ahead and bow our heads tonight and we'll pray. Father, we ask you to bless your Word tonight, Father. Lord, I wish I could say bless us for our goodness. And though, Lord, we're not good people, Lord, by our flesh, Father, there's no good in us except for the Spirit of God that works the good things of the Lord. But Father, I pray that you'd bless according to your grace and your mercy tonight, Father. God, and I know, Lord, how wicked my heart is, and I know each one of these. I hope that each one of these tonight will be sitting on these pews and, Father, admit in this prayer how wicked and undone a people that we are, how needy of the Spirit of God that we are, how needy, Lord, we are of you. Father, I pray, God, I pray that each heart in here during this sermon and this message tonight, Father, would become weak, Father, and submissive to the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would touch us, Lord, in some way tonight. Lord, that would be an encouragement to us, an inspiration, Father, to serve you in a greater light. And Father, we'll thank you for what you'll do tonight. Again, I pray, bless this service time and touch your preacher boy, Lord, one more time before your soon coming. I pray in Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. Amen. And as we think about this life of Joseph, and just four quick things or three quick things and we'll be done. We'll bring about the conclusion of this message. First of all, I want to say even though Joseph physically before men had much power. And I believe all of us tonight can, as we remember the story of Joseph, I'm sure that if any of us have been saved any length of time, we've read this story numerous times of the life of Joseph. I believe that all of us could say that Joseph was a very humble man. But in the life of Joseph, he had much power before men. Out of prison, he was exalted to the right-hand man of Pharaoh himself. I mean, he had a lot of power given to him over substance, over the finances, over the things, because that God had brought about a favor with him before Pharaoh and before Pharaoh's men and before the people of Egypt. God had made him a favorite in their hearts and in their lives. And if anyone is going to be able to reach down to someone that is lost, no doubt, he'll have to have favor with them before God. God will have to show them that man or that woman is something special and separated by the Lord. And I assure you, that's how Joseph came to be such a favorite in Egypt, is that God multiplied his grace before the people. And at your workplaces, at your schools, when you're out and about, if God is going to allow you to be used as a servant, to be used as a witness for him, you are going to have favor with people. And this is something that only God can do, you see. That's the reason we need to be in fellowship with the Lord and prayed up and studied up and ready. Because it's then that we will be used by God to reach others for the cause of Christ. David said, "Thy hands hath made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may know thy precepts. And those that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I've hoped in thy word." And I want you to know, friend, that's exactly what we find in the life of Christians. If we've hoped and have our desire in the word of God, it's then that we will be effective and used as servants for the Lord. And Joseph here had his hope centered upon the Lord God Almighty. Even though he was physically had power before men, his fellowship with God made him to recognize himself having no power. And this is very important, I think, in people's lives today. Something that we are missing, that parents miss, that we miss in our job sites, that we miss in our daily lives, and especially in church offices and things of which men may have some type of position. And I never could understand why a man would want some type of title in a church. A title just brings about responsibility. Amen. The more titles I give myself, the more I feel like I'm being put pressure upon. Amen. I come to a place where I'm just ready to get rid of titles. Amen. To whoever wants them to. Whoever wants to serve the Lord can have those titles. But that responsibility is there. The weight is there to bear. And as we see, he might have had much power before men, but it made Joseph, the more fellowship that Joseph had with God, the more humility that he had before the Lord, the more authority that he gave to God over his life, the more, Brother Joe, that Joseph had realized that God was in power the entire time. Whether he was in a pit, or whether he was in a prison, or whether he was in a palace, it was still God that had power over Joseph's life the entire time. And that's the reason that God blessed him in such a way that he did. We find that he realized that his position was arranged by God. And any positional power was because of God, and for the glory and the kingdom of God and God's advancement. And he realized if there was any position there, it was because God placed him in that position. It was because God put him in that place to where he could do what he could do. Let me tell you how God uses the man that has money, or that how God has blessed the man that has money. It's the man that realizes that God has placed him in a position to be used by God with the things and the materials that he has been given by God. And that's the man that God is going to bless. There's a lot of rich men out there, understand, that have not been blessed by God. No doubt it is God that giveth to all men liberally, saved and lost. I understand that. But what I'm saying is a lot of times those things are not for the blessings. Amen. Sometimes those things are a curse. Sometimes the things that's in our life are more so for a curse for us than it is for a blessing. As we see, but for the man that is blessed by God, it's the one who realizes that the position that he is in there because God has set him to that place. Now, hold on one second. As we think about Joseph's fellowship with God, we could say three things real quick. Number one, we could say that it made him to escape the bitterness of heart. in his life. Even though it meant being alone. And let me tell you, he was alone before he ever got stripped of that coat of many colors and placed in that pit. Brother Phil, he was alone a long time before that. And you know what? We can feel alone and still have family. We can still be around and understand. I know he got stripped of everything. We don't want to diminish that. But Joe, he got stripped of his mom and dad and his brothers and sisters and all these things. We don't want to diminish that because he did. But he lived the life of a loner then. I mean, his brothers were distant from him. They recognized from the time he dreamed that dream and of his brothers bowing down unto him. Hey, those brothers knew something was wrong. They knew something was going to take place, and it didn't involve any advancement of them. It didn't involve any popularity of them, any power of them. And it distanced them from him. And it made him to stand out. And the Bible says he would be in the fields, and he would come home, and he would tell his father. He was a tattletale, amen. He would tell his father, read it up for yourself, of all the evil that his brothers did during the day, all the things that they devised against him and against his father and against the things of Israel. Hey, he would tell them of all the wickedness that his brothers did, and it eat those boys up and it eat his brethren up. And those around him, understand, he was alone a long time before he got placed in the pit. But he felt that aloneness. He felt that bitterness. And don't you know, even the best of us feel bitterness. You know what I'm saying? I mean, people that are right with God and they stay with the Lord, Brother Phil, they can overcome bitterness. But that doesn't mean that they don't have it wanting to enter in their heart at some place in time. I can imagine, Brother Joe, we don't want to put Joseph on some type of place of perfection. I know he was a great symbolism of Jesus Christ, and there's a lot of parallel study with his life and the life of Christ, and that's a wonderful study through the Scripture. But we don't want to put him on a place of perfection tonight. I mean, he did have his imperfections, no doubt. He was a man. He was in flesh. Don't you know, he overcame the bitterness in his heart because of his fellowship with God. He stayed humble before the Lord. He stayed in contact with God. In that pit, he was in fellowship with the Lord. When they pulled him out of that pit and they sold him into that Egyptian bondage, he was in fellowship with God. And through that, God blessed him. You say, that was a blessing? Sure, the pit was a blessing. The pit was what brought him to the place where we're at and where we're preaching from tonight. That was just a stepping stone toward the greatest provision of God for Israel in that day. Hey, that nation was on the brink of extinction, and God took one little boy and took him from the place of a shepherd. He was just tending flock over there like King David was. Took one little boy out of the fields, put him in a pit, then placed him in a palace, then put him in a prison, then placed him back in a palace to provide for the people of God. Hey, what a wonderful story that is. But oh, through all those years, could you imagine the bitterness that tried to enter into Joseph's heart? I mean, Brother Phil, if God brought me and put me from a pit, put me in a palace, and then all of a sudden I found myself in a prison because of something that I did not do. I mean, understand, Joseph ran from it. He ran from his master's wife. He didn't stay around. He was completely innocent. There was nothing that he did. And he got placed in that prison. Could you imagine the bitterness that tried to enter into Joseph's heart? He overcame that by fellowship with God. And let me say this, if you're going to do anything for God, you're going to have to overcome some bitterness that's going to try to creep in. There's going to be times when you're going to say, well, Miss so-and-so shouldn't have said that, or Brother so-and-so shouldn't have said that, or Pastor Shoemaker shouldn't have preached that, or he shouldn't have come in and done that, or this one and this one and this one and this one. But you know, most of the time I found out that whenever I begin to question like that, Miss Kelly, it's usually because something's wrong with my heart. Something's wrong on the inside of me somewhere. Whenever I begin to question others around me, a lot of times it's just because I haven't been in fellowship with the Lord myself. I haven't been praying like I should. I haven't been spending time with the Lord like I should. And usually it's because of that that I begin to question those around me and the things that are said around me, the things that are done around me. It's usually because something is wrong. Bitterness is trying to creep in my heart. Hey, the reason that Joseph experienced the great blessing in the future was because of the things that he had done in his past. And some of the things that you think are a cursing are just a blessing in disguise, bringing you to a place of betterment in the future. As I think about Joseph, it made him to escape the bitterness of his heart. But not only that, it made him to see the will of the Father. And not only to see it, but to want to accomplish what God was trying to do. We see this will was carried out in the things, and he finally got to the place. He said, I know exactly what God has brought me for. Here for. Could you imagine, Brother Phil, before his brothers ever came to him, you know those nations, and especially as high up as he was, Brother James, he probably heard about the famine that was going on. He probably heard about the drought that was going on. He probably heard about all that, Brother Joe, and how people were about to die. He probably heard about that, and he was probably weeping inside because that was his people, you see. That was his brethren. That was his father. That was his mother. And could you imagine as he was thinking to himself, why, I'm over all the corn. I'm over all the wheat. I'm over all the tomato plants. Amen. I'm over all this, all the vegetables and all the fruits and all the things of Egypt. I'm over these things. I know that I could help these people. And then here he is. And then his brothers come to him. And if you remember how that story unfolded, he would have to go out and just weep because he missed them so dearly. He missed the homeland. He missed all the things. But understand, it was God working to better the people of God, to better the children of Israel. And he said in verse 20, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto the good to bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. He said, God brought me to this place that I can save Israel, that I can bring them out of this famine, that I can make sure they don't starve to death. God has brought me to this place. You might have thought this for evil when you placed me in that pit. You may have been trying to get rid of me, but you don't understand that God was really using you to bring me to this place. Did that help the brethren? No. It was still evil, right, Brother John? I don't think any of us can get away from admitting that. It was still evil. It was still wrong. And the things that they did, but God was using them to bring him to that place. And I think sometimes as Christians, we tend to say, well, I don't know why this is happening to me. I don't understand why this particular thing is happening to me. But our fellowship with God is what's going to bring us to this place to see future events transpiring. To bring us to a place to where we see God working on the other side and doing something great. I love that story Brother Jackie told Wednesday night. That was a blessing, amen. The little premature babies in the hospital. How the man stood up and said, I said, I know if God has brought us this place, I know that God's going to take care of us, that God's going to do something. Hey, friend, somebody that's not in fellowship with God would not be able to look and say, I know that God is working on my behalf. Right now, I understand that. Joseph could say that in that time of turmoil. He could say it when he was in the prison. He could say it when he was in the pit, that God was working on his behalf. I'll just stay faithful. I'll just continue to allow God to do something through me. And he did. And God blessed him and advanced him. Even though things transpired that may not have seemed godly, he still stayed right with the Lord. And I would ask us, I wonder, through those things, through the times, have we allowed our heart to grow bitter, to grow cold against God, or have we allowed ourselves to grow closer to the Lord through our tough times? He made him not only to see the will of the Father, but he made him to understand the desire of God and to see it. His fellowship with the Lord made him to be glad and rejoice in what God was doing on his behalf. How that God had raised him up. How that God had brought him to the place where he was. It made him to realize that it's the Lord that done these things. Fine, I didn't experience the things that I would have liked to. I wasn't in a place that I might have chose. I'm sure if he had had a choice, Brother James, of getting in that pit or going home with his brethren, I'm pretty sure he probably would have went home with his brethren. If he had the choice, Brother Phil, when they pulled him out of the pit and sold him into Egyptian bondage, and the Egyptian said, "You can come with us as a slave or you can go back to Israel," I'm sure he would have said, "I think I'll go back to Israel. I think I'll go back to my dad. I think I'll go back to my family. I think I'll go back to the land." Right? If he had had a choice, I'm sure he would have chose that. But understand, without that choice, God was moving him in God's plan to preserve a greater good. And I want you to know, wherever God is going to have you, whatever God would have you do, hey, just submit to the will of God and where God would have you. And I assure you, friend, it will be to the greater good of the kingdom of the Lord. Make sure you're right with God, though. Amen. A lot of people move and they're not right with the Lord. A lot of people go places and they're not right with God. A lot of people stop doing things and start doing other things and just not right with the Lord. Their fellowship's really not there with the Lord like it should be. And they can get themselves into a mess. But you see, Joseph was moved by God. Allow God to move you, friend. Allow the Lord to take your life. We find not only Joseph in his position, but the humility of Joseph was the key to God working on his behalf. I mean, think about this. Because of his humility, Joseph left all judgment to God. I mean, we think about Joseph standing there and we come to the place to where all the people like the story. I mean, we've read through the story of Joseph. We've despised the brothers. I mean, the whole time we're thinking, man, I wish they could get what's coming to them. And then we finally get to the very end, and they're standing before Joseph. And if it was us, we're thinking, hey, he's going to get it now. And they're standing before Joseph, and Joseph says, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? Am I to stand in God's place and judge you for your unrighteousness?" Sometimes we think we're in a place, in a position, and we think we're there to pass judgment. We think we're there to take another man's life or what another man has done or a decision that another man has made and to pass judgment upon him. And a lot of times that's the easiest thing that we could do. But are you in the place of God? Is all power given to you or is all power given to God? We think about the positions that God gets us in and gives us as far as blessings go. We think about His humility of Joseph. Joseph left not only all judgment to God, but he left all provision to God. I mean, it wasn't Joseph that brought himself up out of that pit. It was God that did that. It may not have been in the exact way Joseph would have liked. You see, those brethren turned away and left, and it was other men that had lifted him up out of that pit. Brother Joe, I'm sure he was sitting there thinking, "Oh Lord, send by a servant of my father. Send by somebody that can pull me up out of this pit." And he did get pulled up out of that pit, but it wasn't in the way that he would like to have gotten pulled up out of that pit, you see. He moved on, but it wasn't a way that he would like to have moved on. He was brought to a place, but it wasn't the place that he probably would have chose for himself. But in his humility, he allowed through those things that God was the one that was providing. And he left all the provisions for the Lord. Hey, Joseph never missed a meal. He always got fed. Maybe it wasn't as much as he had liked at times. Maybe it was more than he would need at times. But he always got fed. God provided for Joseph. God made for Joseph. May I not have been in the place he'd like to eat, but he did eat. Hey, God provided for Joseph and God provided for the people of Israel. And Joseph left that to the Lord. And I would say, let's leave the provisions unto the Lord. And in your humility, God will provide for you and for your family and for your church and for your people. God is going to make the provisions needed for you if you'll just stay with the Lord. In his humility, it was God that was to provide, to judge, to comfort the people of Israel. And I believe as he began to see Israel going into the place of famine, and he began to see himself exalted, and he realized that, Brother Phil, it wasn't him that was doing this exaltation. It wasn't him that was doing this to the land. It was God that was putting all these things together. And he finally could come to the place where he said, it's God that was meaning this for the good. God was bringing me to a place to be the salvation for all the people of Israel. It was God that's been putting these things together. And so as he looked at his brethren, he said, am I in the place of God? Why do you stand before me and fear me? Because it's not my power. And I would ask us tonight, I wonder sometimes if we don't just take things into our own hands, because we think we can. And that's the fall of a lot of churches today, you see. That's the fall of a lot of pastors today, you see. Is that men take things in their own power and do things of their own self instead of allowing God to have that power, allowing God to make the provisions, allowing God to move and change men, allowing God to do these things. Man takes their own power and does their own thing, and in that we make a mess of things. I would encourage you, church, to allow God to have the power over this little local church, and God will take this place and make provisions for this community through this church and allow this church to be the saviors of this community. Understand? He'll do that, but we're going to have to give power over to God where the place of power belongs, because it doesn't belong to you or I. As we think about the humility working on His behalf, our humility is going to move the hand of God, because we submit ourselves under the work of the Lord. And we, in our humility, and we, in our subjection, are just giving the power back over to God where it belongs. You know where you do that? You do that when you wake up in the morning and you hit your knees before the Lord. Because you know that you need to. Not just you know that you're supposed to. Or not just to little bow your head for a few minutes. But to hit your knees before the Lord. Because you know that you need God. And in that, you're giving power back over to the Lord where it belongs. Because if you don't, during your day, you're going to be operating on your own power. Joseph said, am I God? And I would ask Christians that today and in this church, are we God? That we could think that we could rule our own lives and do what we want to do. Move the way that we want to do. Say the things that we want to. And allow God to do anything on our behalf. Now, I'm not just talking about things that are not godly. Now listen up real close. I'm almost done. I'm talking about things that are godly. I mean, there's some things, and you know, we deal with people at work, or we deal with people during the week, or we knock on their doors and we talk to them. And if you're not doing that, then you should be. You should be. You should be dealing with your family, and you should be dealing with people in the community. It's not just for the pastor to do that, you see. Sheep make sheep, you know. We are to be going out and doing that. But as we deal with people, a lot of times we, and even at work or places, we say things, and we know what that Bible says, and we'll just say things, and we've not prayed about it. We haven't prayed that morning like we should. There's no fellowship with God. There's no communion in our hearts with the Lord, and there's no power working on our behalf. You're not giving God the power there. How can you think that God is going to work on your behalf without the power of the Spirit of God doing something that man cannot do?
Amen.
It's not just the ungodly things we say, but sometimes it's the other things that we say. The things that we're... And I thank the Lord that you try. Thank the Lord that people try. Amen. I'm grateful that any man would step up and give some Scripture and try to do something for the Lord. But I would say, is the power been given to God whenever you're doing those things? Y'all still with me tonight, aren't you? I hadn't lost anybody. Joseph's bad really was Joseph's blessing. And we had seen that through Joseph's life. If you study that out, you'll find that all the things that God was working in Joseph's life was to bring him to that place to where he saw that God's power was prevailing over his own. That God's power was in the pit. That God's power was in the prison. That God's power was in the palace. Hey, that God was God over Joseph's life, no matter where he was at, no matter what he was doing, that if the power was given to God, that God could do something that Joseph could not do himself. And I would ask us, in the good times, in the bad times, in the hard times, In the rejoicing times, is all power given to God, where control is given to the Lord, no matter what. The place of power should be God's, not our own. I think about whether Joseph was a pauper, whether he was in a powerful position, he still give God that control. Whether he was content to be in the palace or the prison, God gave him that control. Whether or not he was treated as a failure or as a favorite, he was still giving God control over his life. Whether he tripped or triumphed, he was still making sure that God had all control over what was going on in his life. And through that, he gave God control. Who is in control over your life, I would ask? Who's in control over my life? I don't want to just preach to you. I'm preaching to me tonight. I mean, who really is in control? Where is the balance of power as far as the ability in your life goes? Where is the balance of power? Where does the scales tip? Most of the time in a Christian's life today, especially, seems above all days that the balance of power is tipping toward us and not toward God. As we think about Joseph, he was content with what God had given him, and the place of power was given to God. He was content. This doesn't happen for a person that doesn't stay in fellowship with the Lord. Let me tell you, if a man's discontent with the place where he's at, most of the time the power is not given unto the Lord. He's trying to take control of his own life. She's trying to take control of her own life if she's not content with her surroundings and the things that's been given. You know, there's a lot of people love to have things in their life. And they'd be content with a lot of things, amen. A lot of times we're just not content. A lot of times we're not content to say, well, if this is all I have, if this is where I'm supposed to be, I would rather be here, I'd rather stay here, I'd rather just do this, and if this is what God would have for me, I would rather just do this than go anywhere in the entire world. A person of content is a person who has given power to the Lord. Joseph was a man of contentment. Joseph was a man of humility. Wherever God had him, he said, I'll just serve the Lord where I'm at. I would wonder tonight, are you at a place to where you say, well, I'm at a place in my life where I've given God control over my life. I've given God the power over my life. And in your humility, you really mean that with your heart. I wonder, are you at a place tonight where you could say that? Every head bowed, every eye closed. As Courtney comes up here to play a little verse of invitation, Maybe you say, Brother Shoemaker, I'm not that place in my life where I've given God full control of my life, where I've given Him all the power. And I'm not trying to do things myself. I'm relying on the Lord to work in my life. Whatever it is for my life, from school to work to family to church, whatever it is, I've given God complete control, whatever He wants for my life. Could you honestly say that in your heart tonight? I wouldn't ask anybody to raise their hands for anything. But just in your heart, can you say, I really have done that? And if you couldn't, tonight be the place, be the time. Find a place in an old-fashioned altar and just say, Lord, I want to give You control. I want to just give You everything in my life tonight. I want You to have it. Take control of everything and work in my life. Father, I pray that You bless this invitation time tonight. I pray that You bless these that are here. Father, help us to serve You, Lord. Help us to give You, Lord, our lives. Lord, help us to submit to Your authority tonight. Lord, and give You full control. Lord, we'll thank You for all that You'll do. Help us now, I pray. Bless this invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen. And she plays. Maybe you want to come and pray. You're welcome to tonight. You come. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, you come. Just don't reject Him. He's spoken to your heart. Don't put it off. Lord, help us.